Welcome, welcome. Thank you all for coming. My name is Amelia, apparently. It's a pseudonym. This is Power Prayer, so welcome. I thought it would be really ironic if we did not start with prayer, so I'm going to start this time consecrating this hour to the Lord. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you that we can all be here in this room and glorifying you and looking at your face. Lord, we thank you just for your body and your family and that we can be here together. Lord, I want to give you this time and may only your words be spoken and may we know you better by the end of this time. Holy Spirit, I just give you permission to shake things up however you would want. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray these things. Amen. Again, my name is Amelia, or Emily, and I live in the Middle East. And for security reasons, I would ask that you, you might figure out where I live. I'm not going to share where I live. You might figure it out. If you do, that's totally fine. You can always, come up to me later and guess to see where it is. But I would ask that you don't share on social media anything. Pictures or anything like that, please don't share because they don't live in exactly the safest place in the world, which is okay. God didn't call us to be safe. But I would ask that you don't post things on social media. So again, this is Power of Prayer. Topic. This is the Middle East, and I live somewhere on this map. So that narrows it down a little bit. So I was born and grew up in Istanbul, Turkey. My parents are missionaries. And from a young age, I wanted to move back overseas, but God kept saying, no, not yet. So I grew up in Turkey. I went to boarding school in Germany for 3 years, and then moved to Ohio to study nursing. And my plan was 4 years, get my BSN degree, and then go back overseas. And I thought, I'm going to live in a mud hut for the rest of my life and deliver babies and live in a village, and it's going to be great. And now I live in a city of 12 million people. So it's almost the same thing. Got another plan. So, like I said, my plan was 4 years in America and then move back overseas and live there the rest of my life, but turned out to be, I ended up staying in America for 14 years before finally moving overseas. So if you have any questions about what it's like to be in the waiting season, too, while you're wondering, okay, when will I go, what to do in the meantime, feel free to come up and talk to me because I feel like I've had a lot of experience in waiting. So, just want to say that. So I grew up in Turkey, went to school in Germany, did undergrad in Ohio, and then because I felt like God said, not yet, I was like, well, let me just get more equipped. So I got my master's and became a nurse practitioner. Just in the meantime, while I was waiting. I did a little stint in Haiti for a little bit, taught neonatal nursing, which is not what I studied or worked in. Then 7 years ago, I moved, I can maybe relate to that. Then I moved to Jordan to study Arabic, and then I moved to northern Iraq, where I've worked with refugees and IDPs, which are internally displaced people. I worked in those camps for almost 5 years, and then last year I moved to a different location that will remain nameless. And I will be talking about refugee care and tent visits tomorrow morning if you're interested in that at 8 a.m. So if you're really interested, to be able to come. So why are we going to talk about prayer? Well, this is just mostly for my sake because of what proposed as the topic for today. But when I was living in northern Iraq, I was on a team and we prayed 10 to 15 hours together as a team per week while running an NGO. And to me, that was the most formative thing about moving overseas and living overseas was having a foundation of prayer. And so I'm really passionate about it and we're going to talk about that today. How to do that, how to work full-time and incorporate prayer in a busy life, especially as healthcare providers. We are busy. We're very busy. We never stop. But prayer is the foundation. It is the strategy, and we're going to talk about that. So again, the last 7 years, worked in a refugee camp, incorporating prayer in, with my team life, and then last year moved to a new location where it's just been me and my one teammate this past year as the only two Western workers in the entire city of 12 million, second largest Arab city in the world, and it's just been the two of us. So this past year, and she's not medical, like I said, I'm a nurse practitioner, we've been really kind of sowing into prayer, into the city, before starting NGO projects and things like that. Of course, we're trying to start NGO projects, but really felt like God gave a mandate to really sow into prayer, into the city. And now we're seeing some fruit already, which is amazing, of just some of the answered prayers. So this is a picture, like, from refugee camp to pretty urban setting. Some pictures. So, why should we pray? Well, first of all, it is a commandment. Jesus said, when you pray, it's not an option. And it's good. It's good that it's not, because it's an amazing thing to, that we can pray, that we can talk to God, the Creator. It's just amazing that we can come before His throne and talk to Him. He listens, and He talks back. That is a big difference between what we believe and what, let's say, Muslims believe, that God, they don't believe that God can, that God speaks to them, you know? And what we do, we believe in a God who does that, and we can partner with Him. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is getting the heart of God and partnering with what His will is. So it's a commandment, and He doesn't need us to pray. He asks us to pray for ourselves, not for Him. You know, He doesn't need it. God. But when we pray, our hearts are changed. Our hearts are molded. Our hearts are more aligned with Him. And one of my mentors, he always talks about how prayer is the strategy. I think sometimes we get so caught up in, like, okay, we're going to reach this people group, or we're going to do this, you know, we're going to do DMM, we're going to do CP, we're going to do, you know, like, all these different types of strategies and trying to reach the lost and all that. But honestly, prayer is the strategy. That's what Jesus did. Jesus healed. He provided taxes for people. You know, you all know that story. He gave food, but He also prayed. And he had talked about how he didn't do anything that He didn't, you know, He always talked to the Father first. And so prayer is the strategy. And what it does is it aligns ourselves with God's will. So I'll be honest, when I have an idea versus when I hear the Lord's idea, I always choose the Lord's idea, because He has the best ideas. He's the one who's the most creative. He's the God of solutions. He's the one that can provide anything that we need. And so I would much rather hear His will, hear His heart, and do that than do something out of my own strength. Because I guarantee you 100% of the time it's way better than if I did it when it comes from God. So, and another thing about it is, like, when we hear and see God's heart for the people and the place, we're going to stay there longer. I mean, if you're there and you're just like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to, you know, do these projects, I'm going to treat these people, I'm going to do that, but you don't see God's heart, you're going to burn out so quickly. You need to get His heart for the one in front of you, because it isn't easy. It's good, but it's not easy. And so I would really encourage you, anytime you feel kind of burnt out, or anytime you feel like, oh God, I'm so frustrated by, you know, all these people, ask Him to show Him what He sees in the person in front of you. Ask Him, like, okay, Lord, what do You think about this person who is irritating me maybe a little bit? You know, like, you just ask Him, because that will change your heart. And you'll see things the way He does. And He sees things with hope. A lot of times when we're working with people, even here in the States, we see such hopeless situations. But when we ask God for His vision, He is the God of hope. Romans 15:13, I talked about it last night. He is the God of hope. So when we see that, we see His vision. And that is actually what spurs us on. Also, prayer is powerful. You all have had answered prayers, right? All of you have experienced an answered prayer. All of you have testimonies of prayer. It's so fun to partner with the Lord to see His prayers answered. Also, praying heals people. We all know that. We see Jesus did it. I'm sure some of you have testimonies of praying for healing, and people are healed. So many. And it's just really amazing that God uses us to heal other people. And to do that, we have to pray. We have to pray for them. And he asks us to. He says to do that. Heal the sick. You know. Studies show, and I talked about this this morning, but studies show that having good prayer support and having team is what keeps you on the field longer and has the most fruit. So I would really encourage you to have a good prayer network. And I'll talk about that a little bit more later. But having a good prayer support team back at home is what will keep you overseas. And will spur you on and will see most fruit. And then, I don't know, is anyone familiar with the term movement? Like, if you've seen movement, like discipleship making movement, has anyone familiar with that? Okay, a couple people. So movement is like when there are four generations of house churches, and that come up to be about like thousands and thousands of people. So there are movements happening around the world today in Indonesia, in Iraq, and in Lebanon, and other places where thousands of people are coming into the kingdom, which is really incredible. But every time people have looked at, have studied these movements, that the common denominator is that they all started with prayer. So I would encourage you, wherever you go, always start with prayer. That is the foundation. Because if we're going to do things on our own strength, we will fizzle out. But if we do things with His strength, His ideas, there's no telling what can happen. We see that so much in Scripture. Daniel prayed. You know that. Esther prayed. She prayed and fasted for 3 days, saved a nation. Elisha, Moses, the apostles, Paul and Silas prayed. They got out of jail. And the jailer and his family came into the kingdom. I mean, that's amazing. And then, of course, we see Jesus praying all the time. That's who he is, and that's what we should be doing. And like I said, he said, when you pray. So not if you pray, when you pray. Now, I put this picture of a mosque, mostly to say, you know, Muslims, and that's where I'm coming from, they pray 5 times a day. And I want to ask you guys, do you guys pray 5 times a day? You know, I think it's embarrassing if Christians don't pray nearly as much as Muslims, and we're the ones with the hope. We're the ones that know the real Messiah. Why aren't we praying? Praying is a communication. It's all about relationship with the Lord. It's all about talking to Him and hearing from Him and getting to partner with Him. It's fun, and we'll talk about how to make it fun in a minute. But, you know, Apostle Paul talks about pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And our Muslim brothers and sisters do that, you know, or we call them cousins sometimes. They do it. They know what to do. They pray 5 times a day. Why aren't we doing that? And or more. So I'm going to give you some tips later. Here are some references about praying. I got this from a strategic prayer manual. I did not put this this slide together, so just to say caveat, I can't take credit for this. But this is just a busy slide showing you how much the Bible, and this is, of course, just a few verses, showing you how important it is to pray and what Jesus says about that. Take a minute before you take the cue. So, like I said, prayer is all about relationship. All about relationship with each other and with God. Because when you pray, and I said this morning, but a team that prays together stays together. Because the number one reason for people leaving the field is conflict within their team. I don't know, have any of you experienced conflict on a team before? You don't have, actually, don't have to raise your hand, I guess. Yeah, I have. It's inevitable. We are human. But when you pray together, if you're praying every day, it's really hard to stay mad at somebody because you know that there's a barrier there. You have to talk it out. It's so much better to pray together because, and you hear the other person's heart more the more you spend time together in prayer. If you think about the people that you are with most of the time in your Bible studies or in your families, it's a lot easier to resolve conflict if you know that you're going to be worshiping together and praying together. So, to be honest, I just think prayer is like the most important thing to do on a team, to keep a team together and to keep a team on the field. So again, it's all about relationship with each other, but also relationship with God. Prayer also leads to expansion. So for my team, when we were in Northern Iraq, we were praying to go into a few different places that were closed. Nobody could go there. The doors were closed. Nobody had been there since the 1950s. It was completely closed off and frankly quite dangerous. And we'd been praying together as a team for 7 years. I mean, I joined them in that 7 year period, but praying for doors to be opened. And after 7 years, within 2 weeks, both the places that we were praying into about going into opened up. And our team trifurcated. We moved into three different places. All three are very pioneering. So prayer leads to the expansion. Now we're all in three places where nobody else is. And nobody has been, some of them, since the 1950s. And if we had not had a foundation of prayer for those places, heard God's heart for those places beforehand, I don't think we would be able to last there. Because it's hard. There's nobody else. There's no precedent. And but because we've sown into that soil with prayer and with tears, honestly, we were ready to go and move because we had prepared our hearts for that place. And it's amazing when you see answered prayer, especially with how many of you have prayed for something for a really long time and then finally it happened. Anybody? And it's just, it almost makes that answer more sweet when you've waited for a long time, right? Sometimes it's like, oh, an instant prayer healing or an instant answer is wonderful. We live in an instant culture. But sometimes when you labor in prayer for something, you see the answer, oh my goodness, it's the sweetest thing in the world. So prayer leads to expansion. It happened on our team. Now we're in three very pioneering places and seeing him work, which is really amazing. Also, prayer, like, it's a way to disciple our local brothers and sisters. We can show them how to pray. We can pray together. We hear their heart for their city, their nation. I mean, what was better than that, to pray together with your local brothers and sisters and to model for them how important it is. That's what Jesus did. He modeled for the disciples prayer. And then prayer does not have to be boring. I don't know. So if I told you, which is what we did, we would have a fold up a day of prayer every week for 8 hours a day, and then we would pray an hour a day on the other times. If I told you, oh yeah, we spent 8 hours a day in prayer, how many of you would think, oh, that's really boring? I mean, it is. I would think that too. So we changed it up, and I'm going to tell you all about that. But I don't know if anybody who can concentrate. I mean, maybe some monks back in the 1700s could concentrate and pray for 8 hours a day. I don't know. But I definitely can't. So prayer doesn't have to be boring. You can change it up, and I'm going to talk about that right now. So as a team, like I said, we prayed together every Monday for 8 hours. And we had two different shifts. We would have morning shift and afternoon shift. So if there were families on the team, the mom, let's say, would go in the morning, and then the dad would go in the afternoon, or vice versa. So they would pray for 4 hours. But those of us who were single, we could stay the whole day if we really wanted to. We had a prayer room, and which is, I would definitely recommend that, but it's not, of course, necessary wherever you go. But in the prayer room was just a safe place to go. Even during it was in our office space. So even during work hours, if I really needed to get away and journal or something like that, I could go up to the prayer room and just soak and just journal or listen to worship music or something like that. So that, it was just really nice, like kind of sacred space to have. But in the prayer room, what we would do is every quarter we would have a prayer leader, for, you know, and we'd take turns on the team, and they would pick the topic for that season, for those 3 months, and they would come up with the schedule for every Monday. So every hour we did something different, and I'll give you examples of that. So it changed up every hour, and we would pray for different topics, and we would go through scripture, and so it did keep things kind of hoppy. And before you know it, like, the day is done, and you feel more connected to each other and to God. And you know, we had a 4-day work week because we spent one day together in prayer, and to be honest, like, we were way more productive than other NGO teams who would work 5 days a week, because God is outside of time. When you give him time, he will, you know, bless you with the work of your hands. And so we didn't miss that day that we took away from work to set aside for prayer. We used it, you know. I mean, God used it, because he's outside of time. And I don't understand it, and I'm not even going to try to understand it, but it works. So this is just an example of our prayer room. Of course, we like having mass. Any person who likes to pray likes mass. And then on the left, you'll see, I don't know if you can tell, but on the left part of that, it says prayers, and then on the right side, it says testimonies and answers. And so what we would do sometimes is we would write down prayers and clip them onto the left side, and when they were answered, we would move them over. And there's something so powerful of seeing the testimonies, because that gives you faith for more. You can ask for more. And to remember, like, how many times did we pray every day, like, oh, Lord, do this, and we forget that He answered. And we forget to thank Him. And it's so faith-building to remember how He already answered these prayers. So we would do that as, like, as a sign of, like, oh, I'm contending for this, and He did it. It's just amazing. On the ground, you probably can't tell in that same picture. One thing that we did was, so we did different themes. So, for example, one season we went through every character in the Bible that lived in northern Iraq and read their stories and, like, prayed through that. Let's pray that this mic works. Another, thank you, Lord. There we go. He's showing up. I love him. Another thing we would do is we would listen to scripture, and then God is a creative God. He invented creativity. He's way more creative than we are. And He gives us creativity. But what we would do sometimes is we would listen to scripture and then paint or draw. And I am not a painter, but other people are. But God still loves my stick figures, and that's good. But we would, you know, like, just paint or draw whatever we felt like from scripture. And so one time we did a different season. We went through the book of Acts and listened to, like, two chapters in Acts every week. And listened to it three or four times, different versions. Because just getting scripture into your heart, it spurs on prayer, of course. And we would paint, and we would paint on this, you see that canvas, and then we would fill it up, and at the end we had a whole timeline of the book of Acts of what we were painting and prayers. And it's just really wonderful, really a fun way to engage with scripture while you're listening and praying, and it passes the time, but you're engaged with the Lord. So this is just an example of what we did. This is not saying, like, this is the best thing, but this is an example of what we did as a team. So we had two shifts, like I said, 7:30 to 5. The first shift was from 7:30 to 11:30. We had a half-hour break. Then we had, from 12 to 1, we had the kids on our team led the hour of prayer. We called it the hour of power, because the children are way better at praying than most adults that I know, and it was just really fun. They would come up with their own creative ways, and we would build Legos, like a tower of, like, what's an obstacle in that region, and then we would break down the Lego tower as, like, a symbol of, okay, we're breaking down these strongholds, you know, in our region, things like that. And then we would have the afternoon shift. And so it really engaged the next generation, too, the kids. I mean, what better way to bring up a child and to instill the importance of prayer in them. We also would fast, usually. I mean, of course, it wasn't mandatory, but I would highly recommend having a regular rhythm of fasting in our life. Ask the Lord how to do that. But that was something that we would also try and do. We would also, so that was Mondays, which would be like our equivalent of Tuesday, because our week was from Sunday to Thursday. But then on Tuesday nights, we would have strategic prayers. That was mostly just intercession for a certain topic. And then the other mornings of the week, we would have an open hour of prayer. Anybody could come and just pray. And it was, of course, none of this was mandatory, but it did bond us together as a team. So that's what I did before. And so now in my new location, like I said, I really felt like God said to really sow into prayer. And so when my teammate joined me in January, we started with an hour a day together for the first week. Second week, we went to 2 hours together a day. Third week, 3 hours of prayer together a day, 4 hours, and we went up to 5 hours a day of prayer. Now, that's not sustainable to get any work done if you're praying 5 hours a day for NGO work and all that. So, but I felt like that was what we were supposed to do in the beginning, to lay that foundation. And then now we do the same rhythm of all day prayer on Mondays, and then we pray together once a day. We don't pray on our Sabbath, because why would you pray on the Sabbath? Just kidding. kidding. A little ironic. But, you know, he's nice to take some time off. Can you guys hear me? Other ways to incorporate prayer. Prayer walking. How many of you have prayer walked before? Yes. It's one of my favorite things to do. We see Jesus did it. I mean, that's what all they did. Back then, they didn't have cars, obviously. So they prayer walked wherever they went. I mean, just look at Scripture. And I'm going to tell you a few testimonies about prayer walking in a minute. But I have a friend in the same organization as me, and he has prayer walked his city in the Middle East 4 times. Every single street, alley, boulevard, he has prayer walked that 4 times. I mean, I don't know how else you get God's heart for your city by prayer walking. He's also prayer walked his hometown in Minnesota 3 times. So just really amazing. You can do that here. And then even while you're prayer walking, like, just use whatever you see and ask God for that. You know, like, over there, I see a date tree. Right now, it's date season. You know, dates are in, you know, they're falling down from the palm trees. And I'm looking and I'm like, God, thank you, A, for greenery, but also, yeah, thanks. See, God provides. But also, like, when I see the dates, I was like, okay, Lord, thank you for the fruit. We pray for fruit for the nation. We pray, you know, you just kind of, whatever you see, you can, like, make that into a prayer. And then I see the dates that fall on the ground that nobody has harvested yet. And it's like, Lord, we pray for more workers for the harvest. There weren't enough workers to harvest these dates. You know, let's pray for that. So you can use just different things that you see while you're walking, prayer walking, to use that as prayer. Like, for example, here, we don't have date trees here, I don't think, in Louisville, Kentucky, or wherever you're from. But you have fire hydrants. So when you walk by a fire hydrant, like, Lord, you're the living water. May people drink from the living water. You know, things like that. Thank you. That was fast. Thank you, Lord. You know, just use whatever you see. If you, like, are just totally out of ideas, just look around and like, ask God how to pray. So that's one thing that I love doing is prayer walking. Another thing is treasure hunting. How many of you have heard of treasure hunting? Anyone? Okay. So treasure hunting is asking the Lord for a picture or an idea of someone or something. So, like, let's just say asking God for an idea, like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to look for today when I go out and prayer walk? And let's say he says black glasses and a blue scarf. So, like, okay, so I write down black glasses and a blue scarf. And I could hear wrong, and that's okay. It's totally okay. But I go out with my friend, let's say, and just start praying, just start walking, doing normal day life. And then one day I see black glasses and a blue scarf. Well, I know that's the treasure. That's the treasure hunting. So you can go up to them, and then I'll ask, okay, God, what do you want to tell this person? And sometimes it's like, do you have anything you want prayer for healing? Sometimes it's like, hey, how can, you know, you ask God, like, what do you want to say to them? And all the time, he always tells me, just tell them that I love them. So I do that. But that's a really fun way to meet people and to build your own faith. When you, like, see or hear a picture of, like, okay, I saw black glasses. There's somebody with black glasses. I'm going to go talk to them. Whether you are right or not, they're blessed because you just told them that God loved them. So you can't really lose when you're doing this. So one time, like, Kimmy and I were doing a treasure hunt, and I saw a red skirt. And as soon as we pulled up to the park where we can walk, there was a lady there, a young girl with a red skirt. So I started talking to her, got her number, told her how much God loved her, and it was great. My teammate had seen just daisies. She just heard daisies. And so we were looking around, and in my city, there isn't a lot of vegetation. Most are just palm trees. I live in kind of a desert area. And so we were like, I don't know if we'll ever see daisies. But we were just walking around. We didn't see anything. We were getting hungry. It's like, okay, let's go eat. And so we went into this restaurant to go eat, and right in front of us, walking in, was this lady wearing a crocheted sweater of crocheted daisies on it as we were walking into the restaurant. So I was like, hey, there's daisies! My team was like, oh my goodness! So then we talked to her and got to bless her. Like, things like that. It's just amazing how God speaks. Like, it's all about partnership with him, and it's fun. It doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't have to be serious. It's fun. And you get to bless people. And yes, people think it might be a little weird, for sure. But it's a way to just pour out his heart for people. And it shows you how much he loves them, you know, his eyes on them. So that's another thing you can do is treasure hunting. And then just be intentional wherever you go. I think sometimes in this culture especially, we like to just kind of be in our own lane and not be around people. Like one thing where I do in my city, because it is hard to meet people, it's a big city, join a gym. And that is a sacrifice unto the Lord, because I'm just not a gym person. And now I am. Thank you, Lord. But so I go to the gym, and I'm trying to meet people, women, because I live in a pretty conservative city, so it's only an all-women's gym. And I'm on the treadmill, and I purposely don't bring my earphones or earbuds or whatever with me, which is a whole other sacrifice when you're, like, running without any music or anything to listen to. So I'm on the treadmill, not enjoying it, and I'm like, Lord, like, I'm just trying to pray for people in my head, or, like, the women around me, I'm trying to make eye contact with them, trying to make friends, you know, it's just really starting to scratch, guys. And I'm running, and I'm like, God, I don't like this. And I was like, I can't make eye contact with anybody. How do I get their attention? How do I, like, get to know them? I'm here. Like, I want to meet them. So I'm running, and then all of a sudden, so I was just, like, you know, lamenting and complaining probably a little bit. Like, Lord, why? You know? And then all of a sudden, I tripped. Which, you know, when you do stupid things sometimes, like, this was one of them, I tripped and I held on. And so I'm holding on, and the treadmill is going, and I'm skinned up, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And then the lady next to me hit the stop button. So then I'm, like, flat on my back. And so I'm flat on my back, and I look up, and three ladies' heads are looking over me. And I go, oh, this is how I meet people. And from that is how I met my best friend in where I live. And we are really close, and because of that interaction. So just be intentional wherever you go, and if you fall, it's okay. God can use it. He's the great redeemer. But yeah, I would encourage you, even here, you know, in the States, just be intentional. We tend to go in, like, the Arabic greeting, wherever they go, some of you probably heard it, is Salaam Alaikum, which means peace to you, peace be upon you. And then yeah, the response is Alaikum Salaam. And Jesus said to do that, you know, when he commissioned the 12, when he commissioned 70, he said, go, and every house you go into, say, peace be upon you. Do you do that when you walk into Kroger or Trader Joe's or Costco? Do you speak peace upon that place or upon the house? That's what Jesus commanded us to do. And the Muslims are way better at doing it than we are. So that's something. Another thing, you can be intentional when you walk into Trader Joe's and be like, peace be upon this place and upon the workers here. You know, just simple things like that can help change your brain to always be just really intentional about praying wherever you go. Another thing is just to go to new locations. Like, don't stay in your own neighborhood when you're prayer walking. Go to another place. And you'll learn, you'll meet new people. You can walk and meet new friends that way. And you can trip and you know, meet your best friend. Who knows? But go to new locations. One thing that we did for my city is during Ramadan, we wrote a prayer guide for a 30-day prayer guide, because Ramadan is the month of fasting. For Muslims, and we wrote up the history of a lot of the neighborhoods in my city, and then put the name of God as something to pray over that neighborhood, and a worship song. And then so it was like really cool to read the history of each of these neighborhoods, write up a little prayer request for it, and then pray into that. And then I now have a prayer guide to like give to people who want to pray for my city. But that's another fun thing, is to research what has happened or what to look into, and wherever you live, you can do that wherever you are, Minneapolis, wherever you are, and then, you know, write up a little prayer guide, and it really helps connect you. Another thing to do is research, like I said, research the history. We all have history in our cities, and see, like, maybe there's a stronghold here. Maybe something really terrible happened, and how can we redeem it? Lord, what is your plan for this neighborhood, for this part of town? Where I live in the Middle East, it's nice because there are verses in the Bible about where I've lived, like in Turkey or Jordan even, and where I live now. So it's fun to, like, read those verses and then pray into them, you know. So I'm blessed because at least it's in the Bible, but so it's not applicable. But you can do that. Take verses and pray into your neighborhoods. And then, like I said, use maps, pictures, names of friends, you know, make like, you can have a Rolodex or something like, okay, I'm going to pray for, you know, Majid on Sundays, and I'm going to pray for Miriam on Tuesdays. And so do things on your phone, you know, just different ways to always be present with the Lord. So one of the times when we were prayer walking, so my city now is pretty flat. I mean, you can see there are a few taller buildings in the background. We can't really go up there. So, for being a huge city, it's not actually a lot of skyscrapers. And I like to go up to top places and pray and see a bird's eye view. It's just kind of fun to see the aerial view. There's nothing necessarily spiritual about it. But, and I was talking to my friend, and I was like, my local friend, and I was like, oh man, I wish I could just like see the city from up top. It's just kind of, you can get a better view sometimes. And, even, you know, spiritually even, and you're just like, oh, this is a big city. And my friend said, oh, whenever I want to see the city, I just ride the Ferris wheel at the amusement park. So my teammate and I, we did that. We were prayer walking. We were dropping verses in the park that we had written in Arabic and looking for people to pray for. And then we rode a Ferris wheel so we could see the city. So that was a picture from the Ferris wheel. And it was really fun to pray from up top. So it doesn't have to be boring. Prayer doesn't have to be boring. You can ride rides and pray. another thing, so in my city, there are several protests. Usually there are protests on Friday. And in September of this year, there was, by one of the Muslim leaders, he had called for a million-person protest, protesting the war that's going on in the region right now. And the last time he did that, hundreds of thousands of young men came out and protested against the war. And so he was calling for it again, a million-person protest. And he can do that. I mean, people will follow him. And so he had it scheduled. It was like 3 weeks out. He had a date, September 20th, scheduled it to do this protest. So I was like, okay, let's go and prayer walk where that area is, where it's the center part of the city, it's a square in the city. Let's go and prayer walk. And a couple days before. So my team and I, we went, and we pretended to be tourists, and, you know, taking pictures, but really just kind of prayer walking around so it didn't look too suspicious. And prayer walking, we were, like, praying for, we were praying for encounters, we were praying for safety, because any time you get hundreds of thousands of people together with high emotions, people are going to get hurt. Even if you're protesting for the same thing, you're going to get hurt. And so we were just really praying for safety, for encounters, for dreams and visions, and all that. And it was fun. We went home. And the next day, the leader canceled the protest. And I, to be honest, didn't even pray for that. I didn't even think to pray for faith that it would be canceled. I was just praying for protection and for good things to happen from it. So it's just really amazing how, like, pray the big prayers. It was really, you know, convicting. Like, oh, I didn't even think to pray to cancel the protest. I just knew it was going to happen. So, but that's the thing. Like, lives were saved because, I mean, I guarantee you, lives were saved because that protest was canceled. Praise the Lord. Other ways to incorporate prayer, these are slightly more stationary. But you can, like, sing through the Psalms together. I don't know if you've heard Worship in the Word, where you take turns singing a verse from the Psalms. Like, people in your, if you're in a Bible study or something, you each take a verse and sing. There's something very humbling about that and really bonding, because not everybody's a musician, but it's all a joyful noise to the Lord, but it is something that's really wonderful. There's something that happens in your brain chemistry if you sing something out versus reading it or speaking it. So I would highly recommend even singing, and you can, like, rephrase the verse. You can do different things, and Scripture really opens up when you do that. Other ways, take communion together, really bonding, or do it, you know, every day. Just take communion. I do that at three seasons, just every morning, take communion before I eat anything. Lectio Divina. Has anybody heard of Lectio Divina? That's just a really wonderful way to enter into Scripture and really you know, hear, his words and kind of be a character in the Bible story and see a story that you've heard a million times probably in a new way, I would highly recommend doing that to a Divina. And there are prayer apps that can help you with that, which I'll talk about in a second. And then you can intercede on a certain topic. So, for example, when we were praying through the book of Acts, like the story of when Paul and Silas were in prison. So then when we were reading that story, okay, let's pray for the prisoners in our city or in our region. Let's pray for them to have encounters. Let's pray for the jailers to have encounters. Let's pray for the prison doors to open, those who are in prison unjustly. Get them justice. You know, you can pray for that. Like, as you're reading scripture, apply it to wherever you are or your people group or your family. You can do that. And then another really powerful thing is just being still. Again, another commandment. We've all heard that verse. Be still and know that I am God. There's something really powerful about just being still and abiding. Because I guarantee you, when you sacrifice time to Him, He will make things happen. It doesn't matter. Like, when you give Him the first fruits of your day, or when you take time to just be with Him, He will make things happen. Every time I ask for time, He gives me time. And just communing with the Lord is the most important thing you can do. It's more important than evangelizing. It's more important than doing, you know, cardiac surgery. It's just so much more important than anything you can do is being with Him. Because through that, then He will work. It'll come out of the overflow. And then other ways you can incorporate prayers through different prayer apps, and there's a ton. I'll give you some examples here that can help you pray too, because sometimes we just need help concentrating. Other thing is just incorporating worship. So as a team, we all learned an instrument and we would play, and piano or guitar usually. And so we were not great. Nobody is going to ask us to play in a band on stage, but it does bond you, too. When you're just being yourself and raw and trying to play a keyboard or a guitar or something. So this is a picture of me and my old roommate, and my keyboard has batteries, which is really nice, so it was pretty mobile. And we would go where I used to live, to the mountain next to our town, and go up on the top, and we would worship up there. So she would play guitar and I would play the keyboard, and we would do that a little covertly sometime during COVID, don't tell them. And just really fun, you know, just incorporate worship. Play worship from your phone. You can write poetry. Not all of us are, you know, musical, but you can write poetry or song or psalms. You can journal. You can write a story. That's a type of worship. And then, of course, encourage other local believers in writing their own music style. Don't just translate our Western style. You know, they need to, it comes out of their hearts, and it's just way more beautiful than the translation of from our Western way. And then include your local believers in prayer, because that is the kingdom of God. When you get different nations together and praying for the same goal, I don't know what is more kingdom than that. So include your local believers and instill in them the heart of prayer, because you will not be there forever, most likely. You will probably end up back in the West at some point in your life. Maybe, maybe not. But to leave with them a heart of prayer for their own nation is the best thing you can do. And then, of course, the next generation. I would 100% want a child to pray for me, because they have childlike faith. They have more faith than most adults I know. And instilling in them the testimonies of prayer, like they believe that prayer works. So, yeah, let's have them pray. And then, like I said before, really, how many of you are hoping to go overseas, but not there yet? So, I would strongly encourage you to build up a strong prayer support right now. There are so many times where I needed an answer to prayer, and I sent out a WhatsApp broadcast, which is not necessarily the safest thing, you know, is WhatsApp, but it's okay. And it's a broadcast that sends an individual text to people on your list, so that people aren't being inundated with the group text. So I really like that. and asking them for prayer. And I cannot tell you how many times within minutes the prayer is answered. And it gives them an opportunity to sow into the kingdom work. And it gives them an opportunity to see God's testimony of answered prayer. So it builds their faith. If you're asking them for prayer and it's answered, you're actually blessing them because they are seeing His faithfulness. Does that make sense? And I would really highly encourage you to get a good prayer support. Like, for example, I flew in from the Middle East on Sunday, and I was asking for a lot of prayer because there are missiles and rockets. I don't know if there's a war going on. And our airspace has been closed a lot this past year. And I was asking for a lot of prayer to get out, to come here. And sent out a prayer request. And I got on Sunday, this past Sunday, I got on the plane, and it was only the second time that flight had flown in the last over a month. And I was able to fly out and come here. So it happened, you know, and then people were like, praise God, you know, like they were seeing the fruit of their prayers. And I was grateful. So, but I had to give it up. Like, maybe I won't be able to come. So here are some recommended prayer apps. And these are the iPhone icons, so I apologize, I don't have the Android ones. But I'm sure they're pretty similar. So the Time to Pray one is a nice one. It just takes you through an hour of prayer and like different increments every 10 minutes, just different things to do. That was developed by a friend of mine who is a missionary. The Priority 100 is a really nice one because it's a short app, and it, every day it's a new people group, an unreached people group. And so it's a way to like engage with people around the world, and you get a small little prayer request, and you hear a little bit about each country or nation or people group. So that's one that's really fun. There's a picture. So if you want something quick or want to engage with the rest of the world, I would definitely download the Priority 100 app. And you can set it so that you get a reminder at a certain time. Lessio 365, that one is really nice, and it does take you through like Lectio Divina, or it's like very calming voices, and there's a morning one and an evening one. You can just go to sleep by it, and just kind of focusing on scripture. I would highly recommend that. Echo Prayer is one where you can put in prayer requests, and then it'll give you updates and different things, and then you can like check it off when it's answered. And then the Daily Prayer app is a little bit more liturgical, and it sets reminders and different times and different scriptures during the day to pray, and it changes every day. It's also really nice. So like in the morning, it's like Old Testament, and then there's a Psalm in mid-morning, and then afternoon is New Testament, and yeah, so, and then the Holy Bible app, you probably all have that one, they have prayer things on that. Here are some of my favorite books. There are so many books on prayer, but this is some of my favorite to read. Lead with Prayer is amazing, especially if you are a leader. You know, they look at lives of leaders, successful leaders, especially church leaders. And the big foundation for that, for them being successful and finishing the race well, you know, they didn't end up with sin at the end or anything like that, was that they took time to pray and have a personal prayer life. So Lead with Prayer, very good. The Circle Maker will make you pray big prayers and see huge things happen. It's really, it's a fun book. Prayer in the Night is, she is an Anglican priest, and that's also a little bit liturgical, but also I just like her writing style. God's Chosen Fast, this is a really good book if you want to fast, which I would highly recommend. This book makes you want to fast, which is really impressive, because I don't know who really wants that. When you read it, you want to. It's really great. Creative Prayer and Intercession is actually written by a friend of mine. And that's how to incorporate prayer, especially for younger kids. She has six kids and lived all over the world, mostly in like the desert of Africa, and how to incorporate prayer for the next generation and how to make it fun. And they've seen a lot of fruit. And then anything by C.S. Lewis, of course, is good. Do you have any questions? And also, there's an evaluation QR code. I forgot to do that yesterday.
Thank you for sharing.
Yes, good question. Yes, I am. Because it is, there, you know, it's kind of starting from scratch. It's taking a little time, but I just did a first project 2 weeks ago with a health education for pregnant women. So, yeah, trying to start something there. But mostly health education because it's just me as a medical person right now. And it's something easy to do because I have to do the fundraising for the NGO and all that. And just being by myself, that's a lot. So I'm just doing mostly health education, but open to doing more clinical work, too. Where I used to do, I mean, in the camps, I did a lot of clinical work.
Are you still getting persecuted? Like, are you able to, like, because you're saying you're going up to people and praying for them. Is there, like, fear of persecution there? Like, you have to do it secretively, or can you be open about your faith?
Yeah, that's a good question. She asked if I'm persecuted for my faith, can I be open about it? Honestly, where I live, it is very conservative. Bad things have happened there to missionaries, but that's where, you know, the Holy Spirit comes in, and you have to gauge, you know, how open to be. But I do pray in Jesus' name. They believe in Jesus. They just don't believe he's the Son of God, or that he rose again. But I do say, I am going to pray in Jesus' name, and I haven't had anybody refuse. And I haven't really felt persecution. If anything, it'd be for being a foreigner versus a Christian. But that's because of the history of where I live. Most everybody that I encounter is really, really kind. So far. And, I mean, there is something about being bold but also being wise. And it's a fine line. And I think it changes every day depending on who's in front of you. And that's where relationship with the Holy Spirit really comes in. Because it is different. And, yeah, but we can't also be afraid to die, too. You know, he didn't call us to live a safe life necessarily. It's okay to be safe, too. Be wise. There's a fine line, and I'm always trying to figure that out, especially when you're leading a team. Whew. Any other questions? Yeah.
What are the lessons you learned from Muslim background believers you stayed with that's affecting your prayer life?
Oh, that's a great question. Any lessons I've learned from Muslim background believers that affected my prayer life? Yeah, to pray big, to pray much bigger, to have more faith, and to not be afraid. I mean, they're the ones that are mostly persecuted. They're the ones that are really stepping out on a limb more. And so, yeah, I've learned to be more bold from them. Yeah, for sure. There was a question back there.
So you mentioned, like, prayer and singing and worship and reading scripture. Would you say that all combined in your prayer, or are they separate aspects? So you're saying you're praying for multiple hours. Are you separating that worship time and
reading scripture
really different, or is that all together?
Yeah, I count it all together, you know, as a prayer. So, yeah. I mean, but there are times where it's like, in this hour we're just going to pray, this hour we're going to worship, this hour we're going to prayer walk, and this hour we're going to intercede. Or do it all together. And like, hey, we're going to worship, pray a little bit, go back to worship, take communion, read the verse, go back to worship. You know, it's all kind of together and kind of as the Spirit leads usually. One thing that helps kind of keep you kind of focused is going through like a book of the Bible or a psalm, and you can do, you know, pray through that, sing through that, or interchange that. But yeah, I do count it all as prayer. I think it is. If that helps. And I want to just emphasize, you can incorporate a lot of prayer while working full time. You can do it. Like I said, I couldn't do like the 5 hours a day consistently, but doing like even small increments or taking a day to pray really does, you can still work and do that. Or just see how the Lord leads you, you know, just start for maybe 1 hour a day or 1 hour a week praying, and then see how God kind of opens that up. But you can work full time and you know, pray for intercede for where you are or where you want to be. Well, if there are no other questions, I'll be around and you can come find me anywhere. Thank you all for coming. Oh, yeah.
I really consider you talking about prayer. I feel in my heart sometimes I don't have a desire to pray. I just wonder if you could pray for us.
Yeah.
Prayer would increase the desire for prayer would increase as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, Lord, I thank you. You're the one that designed prayer, that we are the ones that can come before you and talk to you, that you are a God who listens. You know, Isaiah says, come and reason with me. You know, you are the God that listens, and you're a God who cares. And, Lord, I do just pray for a renewed fire for me and for all of my brothers and sisters here in this room, and renewed fire to speak to you, that we would see you in a way that we see a best friend, see as somebody who I can't wait to talk to you and tell you this and tell you what I think of this or what happened. Lord, I pray just for a renewed fire right now in Jesus' name, that people would leave this conference with this desire and urge to just spend time in your presence. Lord, I thank you that when we ask, that you do answer, and what more than you would want is to be closer to us and for us to be closer to you. So Lord, we do just pray. I do just want to commission and bless you all for a renewed desire for prayer and for communion with the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.